It's been fascinating, hasn't it? The Foolproof series. And like Janet said, these gold nuggets. And every line, you could do a sermon on every line in Proverbs, but we'd be here a long time, so we won't do that this morning. But they're very practical. And there's so many things that we can improve in ourselves, isn't it? No matter our age, no matter what older person's category we're in, or how grey our hair. See, I'm getting a bit grey here, so I'm getting wiser. Not as wise as some of you here, but I'm getting wiser. Every day I just get a bit more grey. So, Sarah, it'll come. You'll find wisdom in grey hair one day. But thank the leadership. We do thank those that have been preaching on these topics. Last week we looked at cultivating compassion. And my way of showing this to Kylie was to go to Queensland for a couple of days for work. And I actually was invited up there by a mining company called Glencore, which some of you have heard of Glencore. They're a huge mining company, one of the biggest in the world, I discovered. And they do a lot of work at Newcastle. Well, part of my job obviously is to help facilitate donations. Glencore gave us $2 million towards the flood appeal, and they said, is it possible if we could fly you to Mackay for a dinner so we could appreciate our partners? So I literally, I won't tell everyone this, that's why it's not on the internet, but I literally flew up to Mackay so they could acknowledge the Salvation Army because they were giving us $2 million, all expenses paid for. I had a very flash meal, so that's sometimes my job is very, very, very good. I met some amazing people. But then I didn't feel so guilty about how much money they were giving us when I realised how much money they make. I sat next to the finance guy and they literally, $29 billion turnover, Glencore Mining Company. So when they give us $2 million, you sort of put that into perspective. But I learned a lot about mining. I learned that every train that comes out of Singleton to the Newcastle port, which is one of the biggest ports in the world, they were saying to me, for coal, every train is worth $1 million of coal. And he said, we normally do 5 to 6 trains a day of 100 carriages. So I'm just trying to get my head around the amount of money in mining. So could be too late for some of you to change career, but if you want to get into the money, mining's a good option. So we're cultivating compassion. And today we're looking at managing anger. And in our 9:30 service this morning, we had quite a few eel supporters. Very visual. Yeah, we've got two here. So we think this would be good preparation for you tonight. Just how to manage that anger. Don't smash your television. Don't yell at the referees or abuse players, etc. Just whatever happens, just get ready. And I'm sure the eels will do well. It's dangerous, isn't it? I should never talk about football. But who do I think of when I think of anger? I think of this gentleman on the screen here, Nick Kyrgios. Now, he's a very debatable character, isn't he? But what a talented, talented tennis player. Like, incredible sportsman, great talent, yet he has this huge problem with anger. And very divisive when you talk about him, because some people love him and the 2Ks and what they did at Australian Open and everything. And then others say it's way over the top. He doesn't respect the game. He abuses all these people. He calls out crowd members. He has a go at the field or the chair umpire, and he's just out of control. He's out of control. And he's one of the more, I suppose, people we see on television that's completely out of control, that it gets airtime, because obviously when others are out of control, they can get time to switch it off, or that you don't have to show everything that's going on. But when it's live sport, you see people out of control. And how much better could be if he could just do an anger management course and just control things? And then others say, but anger can be good. Like, if you're angry because you want to do better and you want the best, and anger's not all bad. So Nick Kyrgios. There's quite a few scriptures, obviously, about anger. The first one I want to read to you is from Ephesians 4, 26 to 27. And this says in the Message Bible, "Go ahead and be angry. You do well to be angry, but don't use your anger as fuel for revenge. And don't stay angry. Don't go to bed angry. Don't give the devil that kind of foothold in your life." Go ahead and be angry. We all know that Jesus got angry. He flipped over tables. He did all sorts of things. He got angry. But Jesus never sinned. So there's this point where it's okay to get angry. But if we get angry, what do we do with that behaviour? What do we do with those thoughts? How does that play out in your life? And when I look at our history as the Salvation Army, we wouldn't be here this morning if there wasn't a bit of righteous anger from William and Catherine Booth. I know I've got a few historians in the room, but they were Methodists. They were in the Methodist Church. They were getting very frustrated, or this righteous anger about the way the Methodist Church treated the poor. But not only that, the way the Methodist Church included women in leadership and let women preach or didn't let women preach. And there was all this anger there, and they did something about it and started the Salvation Army. And that's why we're sitting here 150 years later. So anger obviously is not all bad. What do we do with that anger? I want to show you a picture here of a cafe. This Cafe Salvo is at Box Hill. It's the core that Kylie and I came out of to do ministry full time. Box Hill, Melbourne. And I was down in Melbourne a few weeks ago with work, and I went and walked past this cafe. I hadn't seen the new version of it, and went and had a coffee there one morning, and I reflected on why this cafe is here. And it's quite a full-on sad story for me, but it was 2003, my wife's birthday, so it's a long time ago, June 11. Points there. Yeah. June 11, 2003. That I was the youth worker at the church there, and I had a phone call from the Nutterwadding Council, and they said, David, is there a chance you can come and see a 17-year-old guy down at the police station? His name's Aaron. He's just had some horrific stuff happen. Can you come and see him? So I went down that morning to see Aaron. He was in the foyer of the police station, and he was quite drugged up, and I could tell he wasn't in his right mind. And he told me the story that he'd just lost his mother, 32, and his sister, 15, that evening with a drug overdose. This is just 10 minutes from Box Hill. It's a long, long story, but I journeyed with Aaron and helped him with the funeral for his sister and his mother, which got his father out of prison, who was in prison for manslaughter. He's doing 19 years. He came out in chains, etc., on the day with four security guards. There was 12 people at that funeral that day, including four security guards. And I did a double funeral. It was my first funeral I'd ever done. And I don't really want to go back there. And it was so sad and so confronting for so many reasons. And you're probably wondering, what has this got to do with this picture of a cafe? Well, I discovered through when we heard the name of the people and how they knew about the Box Hill Salvation Army was the mother and daughter had been in four times to our Salvation Army centre to receive food. And back then we used to, like a lot of Salvation Army centres, you just made use of what you had. And we had a songster room down the end of the corridor, and we would ask people when they come for food to come down. It was like a 10-minute exchange. It wasn't sort of as well set up as we do these days. And they'd come through and they'd get their food and they'd go again. They'd done that 4 times. Yet I felt responsible that we hadn't done anything to really help this family. Yet we'd given them food 4 times. And so being on the church leadership team, you know, Holy Spirit prompted me to do something about this. And I said, we've got to do more than just give them bags of food out of the Songster room. We need a space for them to, that they can drop in during the day. When they're having a bad week, when they're having a bad day, they can hang around their building. It's not just about giving them food and getting them out of there as quick as possible. A bit like we have the cafe here that Sarah and the team organise. And it was about valuing people, valuing community, helping people go on a journey. And so we transformed, that's the new Cafe Salvo, but back in 2003, the end of that year, we tried to do our community services different, value people, spend more time with them, not just give them something and get them out the door. It's hard to measure if that's been a success or not, but it was quite a journey for me to walk past there a few months ago and see this cafe and go, sadly, that came out of a really sad story, but people still drop into this cafe to this day because they know someone will chat with them, someone will talk to them. It's not about amazing coffee and food. It's about more than that. It's about relationships and valuing people. I'll tell you that story just to tell you that anger can be good. A righteous anger, when we talk about managing anger, if the anger is used by God to prompt you to do something, the Holy Spirit says, hey, David, you've got to do something about this. You cannot just let this continue to happen. Doing the same thing and expecting different results is just insanity, isn't it? So we try and do things better, do things differently. What else does the Bible say about anger? Proverbs 16:32, as we heard this morning, better to be patient than powerful. Better to have self-control than to conquer a city. Solomon is saying here that you can be the general or the chief or in charge of these massive organisations or in charge of Glencore Mining Company or the Salvation Army or be the Prime Minister of Australia, but the better than that is to actually be a patient person, to be an understanding person. And that is what the scriptures are teaching us this morning. We need to have control of our emotions and the way we treat others. So I want to introduce you to 2 types of anger this morning. Now, I'm not saying that we're all older persons here, but I'm sure some of you would have seen this over the years play out either in your life or in your spouse's life. Try not to say anything this morning. Or you've seen this in people around you or perhaps even your own life. But Bill Hybels says in his book that there are 2 types of people that get angry, the bottlers and the spewers. Interesting word, bottlers and the spewers. And you can probably understand just by seeing those words what that means. The bottlers are those that just keep taking it in. They get a little bit angry and a little bit more angry and you just take it in. And you're at night, you can't even sleep. You're that angry internally, but you won't even talk to your spouse about it or someone else about it because you're just so uptight and you just let it sort of regurgitate in you and you bottle it up. And at some stage, the top's going to come off and you're going to explode and probably damage a few people around you. Janet's laughing. Do you know someone like that, Janet? No? No. Try not to call their names out while I'm saying this. Then there's the spewer. And the spewer is just the person that has no filter at all, right? The spewer just, whatever happens anytime, they're just going to let rip. And they're just going to say exactly what they think. There's a few nodding heads here as well. And you can obviously see that in society and that's really dangerous and it damages lots of people. You know, I'm sure we've all seen a bit of road rage, But I've been in traffic when you see people actually get out of cars and they're actually super angry and they're going up to another window and start abusing. And I'm thinking, this is just really, really sad. Like people, their emotions get that intense and they haven't learned how to manage that anger. So we all know that the danger in getting angry, we're all going to get angry at some stage and we would have been angry, is the damage we do to those around us. And we just have to be really conscious of that, obviously, and let God help us through those times. Well, Proverbs says a few other things about anger. It says in Proverbs 22:24, don't befriend angry people or associate with hot-tempered people. And then another place it says, fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end. And I'm sure, I know there's a lot of wise people here. We all know a lot of wise people that just, no matter what's going on, they have a calmness about them. They have the Holy Spirit indwelling in them and they just can actually handle the injustice or what's happening in this world and they bring a sense of wisdom to it. So anger is neither good or bad, but it is a sign that something's not quite right in your world. And my little bit of grey-haired wisdom for you this morning is that if you've got anger, there's something going on. It might be decisions that have been made, might be the way you've been told something, it might be the way you've been treated. It may be decisions have been made outside of your world, in politics, or the new road system, or when the tram's going to go through it. I don't know what makes you angry. But whatever it is, you need to understand what triggers that anger and why it's being triggered. And then you need to have healthy ways to obviously deal with that anger. Sometimes in my life, I know that things that shouldn't normally make me angry, but because you've been through X, Y, and Z beforehand, you know, something's happened in your family, something's happened in your workplace, and then you drive through McDonald's and the ice cream machine isn't working and you get angry and you go, what's going on? It's just ice cream. But it's not the ice cream, it's the five things that happened that day that have worn you out, or you haven't got any mental energy to cope with the little disappointments in life. And just understanding that and being able to cope with that is really important. So Proverbs 15 verse 1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And this little gold nugget here is about the way we treat those that are angry. So if we can manage our own anger, I'm sure we're all going to come across people around us who are angry in all sorts of places. And this wisdom here is for us, obviously, to be calm, to be wise. A gentle answer turns away wrath. Just recently, I was up at a basketball carnival in Queensland, and for a number of years now, I've sat on the basketball tribunal, and this may be a disappointment to you, but the Salvation Army, Peter, you'd understand this, Salvation Army does have a tribunal at Salvation Army Carnival. It's because of the behaviour of some of their athletes. Have you ever been there, Peter, over the years? Yeah. Or both. There's a proverb too about lying too in the but what happens, obviously at the tribunal, people come in, there's been a report made and you have to sit through and use your wisdom and generally try and calm people down. And we had a couple of characters at Carnival this year from really tough situations that were just spewers. They would just go at the refs, the opposition, nearly violent, some of their behaviour. And we had to deal with that. We're at a Christian carnival, it's a Salvation Army, you need to keep other people safe. And the wisdom needed by the tribunal to try and come to a place. And it's, I find this fascinating because there's grace and then there's justice, isn't there? And somewhere in between we make a decision. And people said to me, you know, this guy's done this and he's done that. He's got to be wiped out for the rest of the tournament. And then someone else would come in, and the whole team should be wiped out for the rest of the tournament. And so there's this end of justice. And to be honest, if it was some other competition, perhaps we're so. And then I tend to, often gets me into trouble, is to show too much grace and say, hey, let's try and help these guys get better. Let's try and include them. Let's not kick them out, because it's not really going to help them in the long term. And went on this journey with a gentleman that week, and I discovered that he'd been in prison for 5 years of his life. He was only in his 20s. And he was an angry young man, like a really angry young man. And we got through a few tribunals and a few reports and a few things, and I learned his name and discovered a bit about his history, et cetera, et cetera. And I was able to calm him down to a sense where he actually got through the semi-final without getting reported again. And he finished, and when he went home that afternoon, he came and thanked my hand and said, thanks, mate, for a good week. All the best. Hope to see you next year. And that might not sound like much, but after the week we'd had, there was a great deal, because he wasn't calling me mate at the start of the week. There's a few other expletives I couldn't use here this morning. But it's true, isn't it? A calm word, a wise head. When we show people grace, love, and some of you I know are here during the week. I've already been through here a few times and got partly abused by some of the characters that drop into the centre here. And it's going to happen more and more, because there's a lot of messed up people whose worlds are not right. And we want them to come here. We want to help them. And we've got to learn how to deal, and I know a lot of you have done this more than me, how to help them, how to guide them, how to listen to them, how to value them as people, and help change their behaviours so they can be in a community. So to finish this morning, I just have what I call Kolo's Anger Management Plan. So Kolo's a nickname they give me when I play sport and thing. So Kolo's Anger Management Plan. Camp, this is exclusive. So you're very lucky to hear this. But these are just really practical steps, and I'm sure a lot of you who have done the journey of life longer than I have will know these. But the first thing I always do when I get angry or I feel that there's some injustice going on or something's happening is I go to the Holy Spirit. These songs we're singing this morning about the Holy Spirit. I believe Holy Spirit is guide, comforter, helper, those words we use for the Holy Spirit. Just to let the Spirit guide us. If we're people of faith, we've got to believe that and not just take it out on other people no matter what's going on, but just go, Holy Spirit, help me with this. Help me understand. Help me calm down. Help me just get my blood pressure down. And then it's the reciting scripture, Ephesians 4:32. I learnt many years ago. Be kind and gentle, tender-hearted, one toward another, forgive others as Christ forgave you. Be kind and gentle, tender-hearted, one toward another, forgive others as Christ forgives you. When that car cuts in front of you, you're about to hit the horn, be kind and gentle, tender-hearted, one toward another. When that lady jumps in front of you at the shopping centre and puts 3 trolley loads of stuff and pushed in, be kind and gentle, tender-hearted, one toward another, forgive others as Christ forgave you. When I sat on the phone once for 1 hour and 5 minutes waiting to speak to someone from Vodafone, be kind and gentle, tender-hearted. It helps. It does help. The Holy Spirit helps us. Scripture helps us to deal with whatever situation we have in our world. Then the last two are just very practical. Obviously, chatting with people. A lot of you have people you can chat with, and I know, I think one of the great things know my parents in their 80s and so on is communities. A lot of you live in communities, retirement villages and all sorts of spaces where you can just have a coffee or a cup of tea with someone and just share what's going on in your world and why you're frustrated with your children or the nursing home decisions or the Salvation Army or Elbow or whatever's happening in your world. But just chatting with people gives you a sense and a chance to actually get your world right, as I say. But the fact that you're angry means something's not right in your world and you do need to do something about it. And my last thing is basically just go for a walk and grab a coffee. And I learned this sort of by accident during lockdown. We were obviously home for months on end and I'd get lots of emails and phone calls, work-related stuff. And some of my emails, you know, I literally wanted to punch the screen of my computer. And I go, I just can't sit here anymore and just keep looking at my screen and typing words into here. And I just put my phone down, put my mask on, go for a walk down the road and get a coffee without my phone. And just how simple that is, yet it just cleansed my mind and just actually got me out of the space. And you come back half an hour later and go, oh, the fact they're changing the cost center code doesn't really matter, does it? You know, so whatever's happening in your world, you just need to know what's right and what's wrong in your world. And when the triggers are happening and you're not right, you're not sleeping well, there's anger, there's frustration, I say go and speak to someone, pray, grab a coffee, but don't damage the people around you. People are too valuable. Let's not damage those around us, but let's try and get perspective on things and let God help us through. Amen. Amen.